In today's episode, I'm speaking with Nicola Ellis-Webb, Healthcare Services Director at Acacium Group. This is a great conversation because Nicola has had such a varied career, and a lot of the time when I am speaking with colleagues who are aspiring to move into senior roles and want to progress their careers into senior leadership, we talk a lot about breadth of experience. We talk about colleagues, clinical colleagues and colleagues in clinical roles wanting to move into more senior roles that may not be part of their clinical portfolio and how to make that transition. Listening to Nicola and how she completely transitioned both at the start of her healthcare career and then again in the middle of it into where she is now. We also hear from Nicola about what it's like to be the most senior ethnically diverse leader in her organisation in the UK HQ element of it, and what she sees should be prioritised for us to see more diverse pipelines and, more importantly, more colleagues from ethnically diverse backgrounds, particularly Black women, progressing into senior leadership roles. I hope you'll enjoy the conversation, and Nicola really hits us with some great takeaway gems that I think we can all learn and use from in our leadership and career journeys. Nicola, hi. It's so good to have you on today. And I know that I always say this, you know, we had a conversation before we pressed record, which is true, but I know lots about you. But welcome to Bravery in the Boardroom. It'd be really good for you to kick off with telling us a little bit about you and your role.
First of all, thank you very much, Monique, for inviting me. I'm actually very excited to have this conversation with you. So I'm Nicola. I am the Healthcare Services Director for Acacium Group. That's kind of the title. But at my core, I am highly entrepreneurial. I am a wife. I am a mother. I am what some people call a vivid dreamer. And so I'm always that person who's the visionary with the big ideas, and I'm highly strategic, and healthcare is my passion.
Okay, okay. And I know what you didn't add to that is that you're a nurse by background.
Oh, I am, absolutely. So my last patient-facing role, though, was probably 2018, so it's been a while. Mm-hmm. But once a nurse, always a nurse, mm-hmm. as we say. So yes, that's my clinical background.
Okay, so I'd love to know a bit more about your journey into your role at Acacium. So I know, like I said, and it's excited me too to have this conversation because of all the different things you've done. And I know quite a lot of our listeners will most probably know you in your former role.
Yes.
So could you tell us a bit more?
Right. So I have a varied background, actually. So I started my working life many years ago, I mean, as a biomedical scientist. And I worked for about 3 years in the Royal London, never forget my very first job. I worked in the biochemistry department there, but very quickly realised that I'm the kind of person who gets bored really easily. Mm. So I moved on quickly, and I went to nursing school, studied nursing, did not enjoy the actual course. No nursing student ever does. It's just, it's the rite of passage. You've got to do it. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed the practice of nursing once I qualified. But I am incapable of sitting still. And while I enjoyed nursing practice, I am the kind of person that was always looking for that challenge. Mm-hmm. So what did I do? I started a law degree and actually went quite far into actually qualify, you know, the process of qualifying as a lawyer. And at the time I got married, just got married, and the stars didn't align. And so actually, when I looked at a junior legal role, by that time I was a really senior nurse. Mm-hmm. And so I made the decision to stay within healthcare. Mm-hmm. And I transitioned into operational roles within healthcare, found my passion there. And so I've since been the operations director for a healthcare startup, which I grew. So in fact, I've had two opportunities to lead healthcare startups from sort of day one. Mm-hmm. This is what we're about to do, to kind of multi-million pound turnover. So I've done that, which I'm really, really proud of. And I am now very much in my sweet spot, which is a kind of service development strategic role with Acacium Group.
Okay, okay. Wow, that is variation.
Yeah.
And you and I were together this morning at a masterclass where we were hearing that, wasn't we?
Yes.
From other senior leaders like yourself about that breadth of experience and how that stands you in good stead.
Absolutely.
When you're stepping into senior leadership. So hearing all of that, Question I always ask our guests, how would you describe your leadership style in 3 words?
So I think my answer today is very different to what it would have been, let's say, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Today, I'd say that it is visionary, for sure. Highly motivational. That's kind of how I bring my team along, and collaborative. Mm-hmm. That would be what I'd say for today, and that's true. 10 years ago, I was very results-driven, mm-hmm. and I didn't give myself psychological safety. Okay. So I don't think I gave my team that either. I was so determined to achieve results and drove myself and my team very hard. Mm. I wouldn't say it was an autocratic style, but it was, we have results to achieve and by any means necessary, of course, within reason, we would just go and burnt myself out in the process. So I've learned that I don't have to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Nobody expects me. No one has all the answers. And so over the years, I've realized that it's more important to surround yourself with people who complement your skill set.
Yeah.
Delegate and let people just get on with their job. So highly collaborative now. I see myself as that visionary leader who I'll set the temperature, I'll set the goals and the agenda, and I would just equip people with the tools, get on with their job and be their cheerleader, which is to the motivational part.
That's such a transition that when working with aspiring senior leaders, when working with newly emerging leaders, yeah. See what you just explained there about, because what we hear, if I said it this way, what we hear is you need to have the knowledge, isn't it? You need to have the experience and understanding to be able to progress, and you need to deliver. Okay, so I hear that in what you were saying, that first part of your journey, but your recognition of actually can't do it this day, I'm gonna burn out, and seeing that transition when you stepped into more leadership roles of how do I empower Absolutely. My team. Really hear the difference in that. I always talk about the gems, right? That's gems just right there, because we speak to so many, so much talent, aspiring talent who are trying to, how do I make that step change from operational to strategic, from mid to senior level? And you just really unpack there that difference in your leadership style and approach.
Absolutely. You learn as you get older too, right? Mm-hmm. You learn that there are many ways to achieve results. Mm-hmm. And so it's been helpful being surrounded in our current company, but equally just with networking with other leaders and mm-hmm. getting the mindset piece right. You learn that there are so many other ways to do it. So as your skill set and your mindset improves, you naturally evolve as well as a person.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. I really hear that. So just coming back to your career journey, and you shared how varied that was for you, it'd be really good to understand if there were any challenges that you experienced along the way.
I think the main challenge actually for me was probably not learning the language of the rooms that I found myself in. And that's, for me, that's probably the biggest challenge I've had, where I've been lucky that there have been sponsors in my journey. But sometimes I look back and I think the thing that challenged me the most was the fact that I was promoted from a clinician into a senior operational role. And as a nurse, you have the odd spreadsheet, but actually you don't need to go into the details of financial planning and doing budgets and to the degree that you would when you step into a senior operational role.
Yeah.
So I think now my advice to people would be, know very clearly where you want to get to, understand what it takes to get there and start preparing yourself. For me, I got there. And to be fair, there's a lot to be said about learning on the job.
Yeah.
But you have challenges when you do that. So often women disqualify ourselves. We say we're not ready. Sometimes just have to get on and do it. But just be aware that you may end up in a room where you think, I don't know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's been one of the challenges that I, when I reflect, that's one of the things that I think slowed me down at times. Mm-hmm. Have I had detractors and doors closed along my journey? Of course I have. But with self-belief, and it cannot be overestimated how important it is to believe in one's ability.
Asking you that, how did you navigate those barriers? What were some of the things that helped you to progress?
One of the key turning points for me was having a business coach many years ago. And it was someone who I could be safe with to just explain what I was experiencing. And helpfully, it was the organization that I was in that provided this coach. And so I was very frank in kind of explaining what was going on. And I was just equipped with lots of tools. And, you know, there's an old adage, if you don't know, you just don't know. So once you become equipped with new ways of dealing with challenges and of making your voice heard and of explaining yourself, it is so important when you're trying to navigate certain political scenarios, shall we say, that you're able to articulate your position clearly without emotions, to be clear in what you're trying to say. So that helped me a lot. Business coach, I think, was the turning point for me.
Okay. And now, so let's fast forward. You mentioned about your leadership role at Acacium, and you are currently the most senior ethnically diverse leader in your organization. So in your view, what should be progressed and prioritized to increase diversity in senior leadership?
So in the UK, we are global. I think we've got another person at my level in our US offices. What should be, let's think about that. So you need clarity from the board. You need ambition, and you need that to be supported with the financial backing to get things done. Because too often you will hear people say, we have a problem with diversity and inclusion, and we know we need to do better. But actually the will and the commitment is lacking. So I think for those companies who are truly serious about making a difference, you've got to ring fence funds to solve the issue, because it's going to take effort, right? And not every organization has the infrastructure or the experts within it to help make the changes. And often it does require some financial investment to make those changes. So I would say it definitely needs executive sponsorship and organizational commitment to improving the landscape. And it's not just about race, but across all D&I groups, right? But there is a particular intersection for me as a Black woman. I'm passionate about seeing more Black women in senior leadership roles. And so there is a whole piece that I think that we probably don't have time to go into today, but I think that needs specific focus to get more women and more Black women into more senior roles. Because I think personally for me, when I sit in a room with my very varied background, I've started to appreciate just how valuable my voice is because of that background. And I think the more we start to really appreciate the fact that difference is a good thing for companies, then, I mean, the data doesn't lie, right? More diverse companies are more successful. But as I said, particular interest for me is seeing more women, more women of color into senior leadership roles. And it's going to take will and ambition.
I think you make such an important point there. And it is fact, you know, that the more diverse companies that represent who they are serving, clients, patients, communities, service users, whichever language you want to use about who you serve. We know that if you are representative of who you serve, you are likely to retain talent and you are likely to attract the best talent. So that call out what you say there about the financial investment, well, for most organizations, especially in healthcare, the workforce platform is burning. You know, attracting the best talent and attracting the talent you need is crucial right now. Understanding that your talent will come in different packages, and that response to, well, we can't find them, the talent is there. So I hear you about the investment to be able to widen your talent pools, understand the support that's required for colleagues who may be underrepresented, but also those who are line managers, and the support and development that they may need as well, to like what you were describing, making that step change into developing and leading diverse teams. I think it's really important. Thank you for unpacking that a bit more, and absolutely wonderful to hear your commitment, because I think we see so many, I speak with so many colleagues in senior roles like yourself who absolutely want to hold the ladder out, you know, and who embrace your role as a role model.
Yeah.
And so wanting to see that and having that commitment to seeing more Black women come through
absolutely
is important. And I think I was keen to have you on here, Nicola, because you're a clinician by background. And a lot of our focus in Bravery in the Boardroom has been about healthcare and has been about colleagues progressing in healthcare. And we know there is so much racial disparity. We see the bulge, don't we,
mm-hmm.
of our lower level or more junior clinical colleagues, you know, how many are from ethnically diverse backgrounds and how that just drops off when you go over using an HS band in band 6 and above. It just drops off. So what you're sharing there about wanting to see more representation, absolutely needed right now. So what advice would you give? So me talking about that group, talking about our cohort, our underrepresented colleagues who are clinicians and who want to progress into senior leadership roles, what specific advice would you want to share with them today?
It's a very good question. I would say, first of all, be very clear on where you want to get to. Mm. I get a lot of questions, actually, from clinicians who want to do something different,
yeah,
but they don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So first, be very clear on what that journey is, and then start stacking experience and skills and get yourself a network of people who have done it. So the thing you want, find some people who have done it and stay close to them.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that it's twofold. Do the mindset work,
mm-hmm.
because actually that personal development piece cannot be underestimated, right? You need to be able to have effective communication. So irrespective of what that end goal is, there are some skills that we all need to try to master,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to get to really senior positions. And I'd probably say communication is the key skill.
Mm-hmm.
So stack the skills, get the experience, build your network, and try to say yes to opportunities. You know, it's important to learn to say no,
mm-hmm.
so you don't at the right times, but get into the habit of thinking, is this an opportunity that I have to say, that I should say yes to?
Yeah.
How is it going to move me towards that goal?
Yeah.
And actually, when I reflect on my own experience, I can see some key opportunities that I said yes to,
mm-hmm.
even though I didn't feel ready.
yeah.
But I'm glad that I said yes at the times when I definitely wasn't ready. So it's good to be clear is the answer on where you want to get to.
I really hear you in what you're saying there about, okay, be aware that you may get thrown in at the deep end, yes. and know what that might feel like. Doesn't necessarily mean that you'd say no. I think what I'm hearing you say, though, as well, but if you say yes, just be aware that that might happen. But that's okay. You're never going to have all the answers. But I love that phrase, stack your skills.
I think what I'm saying is, if you're clear where you want to get to,
mm-hmm.
and you start stacking the skills, you may get there and actually realize, do you know what? I might not know, or I might not be 100%.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever is. But women, we beat ourselves up
mm-hmm.
much more than our male colleagues about the things that we may not necessarily be strong at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the point I really want to emphasize.
Yeah, I think we definitely hear about, like you said, a state of readiness, or that question that I always like to pose to people is say, well, who told you that? So people say, oh, well, I'm not ready for this because, oh, I have to have this much experience, or I have to have done this first. And I say, okay, well, who told you that? Or where did you validate that? Because sometimes it might be true, but quite often it's what you said, it's what someone is kind of assuming or have decided on paper, but it doesn't necessarily connect to the reality. So I really hear that. So be ready enough.
Absolutely.
Almost, isn't it? Yes. Be ready enough. And just what you were saying there about, you know, you said yes to opportunities, but what helped you with that was because you knew where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
What inspired you? So you made some big transitions, shared with us. What inspired you to make some of those transitions?
So I think naturally I am a very driven and ambitious person. I think, I suppose we were all told by our moms that we can do anything that we, well, some people weren't, sadly, but my mother told me I could do anything that I put my mind to. And I believed it at a young age. So I've always been driven and ambitious. And I am, as I said earlier, I cannot stay still for very long. So I'm always looking for that next challenge and something that stretches me. You know, just a side note, when I see people's careers that have spanned, say, 20 years in the same role, in the same company, I feel like I want to study those people. I'm fascinated. So what inspired me is always being ambitious and wanting, striving to improve and to challenge myself. That's my natural tendency.
So, okay, that's led you to where you are now at Acacium. So it'd be great to understand a little bit more about, because you mentioned your role at Acacium is strategic development, service development. So it'd be great to understand a little bit more and how you work with NHS organisations.
Right. So our official strapline is that we are a global workforce and solutions partner. So we're headquartered here in the UK, but we're a global company. And healthcare is by far our biggest service offering. And the NHS is our biggest client. And within the group, we've got over 20 brands delivering either workforce or a clinical healthcare service of some description. We work with the NHS in a number of ways. So, for example, we're running preventative stuff. We deliver National Diabetes Prevention Program, NHS Weight Management Program, smoking cessation. So we're on the preventative side, but equally, we're one of the NHS's biggest partners when it comes to elective recovery, right? And we like to think of ourselves as creative problem solvers. So a lot of times, an ICB or a trust will come to us recognizing that we have the workforce. So as an example, we placed 30,000 healthcare workers in roles on a weekly basis.
Wow.
So we're recognized for being the people with the workforce, but equally we put those workforce to work in creative ways. So we like to come alongside the NHS and think through problems.
Okay.
And that's how we see ourselves. We've got the headspace. Mm. The NHS doesn't, sometimes they're firefighting. Mm. They know they've got a problem, but they don't necessarily know how to connect the dots to solve those problems. So that's how we see ourselves, really, as trusted partners.
And where can listeners find out more about what you do?
So I am on LinkedIn, Nicola Ellis Webb, and I'm not on Twitter or X. But equally, acaciumgroup.com is our website.
Okay, and we'll make sure we link those in the show notes. So, final question from me, which I love to always ask our guests. I think it's important too, because we were talking, you mentioned it. I mean, let alone what we've been talking about offline, but you mentioned it about, you know, when you first took on responsibility, push, 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 and you burn out.
Yeah.
So question from you, from me now is, how do you maintain balance now in your role, which does sound very busy and is very senior? How do you maintain balance and look after Nicola?
I have become really good at getting rid of people and things that suck my energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important.
But equally, vampires.
Energy vampires. It's a brilliant term. But equally, I surround myself with people who inspire me. I just love being with people who are creative thinkers. I don't really like the naysayers and the negativity. So I feel that people who refresh you and certain activities that are, you know, that spark joy, I've learned now how to get that balance right. I think it's taken a while, but I'm definitely able to just make sure that I'm protecting my self-care time in my diary, and as I said, just getting rid of anything that sucks my energy. And it's helpful being in a strategic role, right? When I was in an operations role, I'll be honest with you, it was a lot harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I found my sweet spot, using the right side of my brain more than the left.
Okay. And again, really useful advice there about thinking about who you give your energy to.
Absolutely.
And who can bring you more energy as well. Nicola, thank you so, so much. It's been wonderful to hear more about your journey. And I hope listeners take away from here about, one, you know, your career is in your own hands, and, you know, seize those opportunities, is what I heard from you as well. But also connecting what you're great at and what you love to then what you're now kind of flourishing in this next phase of your career.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.